Hey, DC and RMD listeners, all this year, we will be featuring a product of the week. So be sure to look within the description of each and every podcast this TV season and click through those links. Whenever you purchase an item through our links, each purchase helps our network grow, and we're able to keep the lights on within the studio.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it today.
Superman.
My son will be raised.
You are here.
The last of us.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
What is up, everybody? You are listening to DC on RMD, Arrow Edition on Rain Man Digital Momo.
Glad you put that in there, at least. There's no Ryan, but we'll say Digimon Momo.
Yeah, whatever. Got to keep with what's worked over the last 4.5 years or whatever we've been doing this for. You found us when you find us on whatever podcast service you like to use. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out a lot. I am your host today, the one and only Bobby D, and with me is Angelica Dawn.
Hello.
Ryan is off doing, I don't know, before and after pictures for fat loss commercials.
Oh yeah, I forgot that's a thing too.
Come on, I've made fun of him for every episode he missed. I'm definitely not going to lose out on that, especially after he posted his Instagram before and after to get his likes so he feels better.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Look, I can't hate on him, dude.
Wasn't there a poll on that or something too?
No, the poll was about his tattoos. I could have said that. He's off in Asia getting his Asian inspired tattoos for his Asian heritage.
Oh wait, he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Like he went to Ireland.
Japan once.
Yeah, he went to Ireland. I'm assuming he's Irish because, you know, white guy. So like I was like, maybe that instead, bud? No? You want okay.
You want full koi fish.
Koi.
Japanese waves.
I get admiring artwork and stuff and liking the artwork, but like, I don't know. I feel like even though I like that type of artwork, like at one point I was thinking about getting like a cherry blossom tattoo and I was like, you know what? You're not Asian, so you don't get to do that.
Oh,
find
man,
a different way.
We could totally fill 3 hours worth of talking shit about things Ryan has done or wants to do based on internet polls.
Yes.
But today, we will be going through Arrow Season 8, Episode 2, Welcome to Hong Kong. Angelica, what happened this week?
Oh, well, they were in Hong Kong, obviously.
Duh.
We escaped the Earth 2 vanishing. So then we have to deal with Laurel coming to realization that her Earth is gone and it's not coming back. And she's dealing with survivor's guilt. Some cool shit happens with Katana coming back and just dealing with everything like back in their world. And I thought it was a cool episode minus flashbacks.
Yeah. Well, flash forwards. We'll get there.
Flash forwards. Same.
Flash something.
Flash anything at this point. It's not that great.
Yes, I can concur. All right, this was directed by Antonio Negrete, written by Jill Blankenship and Sarah Tarkoff. Now, I want to start off with, I'm really digging the way they're doing these shows. They're like very mission-based.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much like I don't know why, and I realize it's probably the same formula as Villain of the Week.
Yeah.
You know, it's we know.
Mission of the Week.
Yeah, it's Mission of the Week, but it just seems so different.
But I think this episode too, when they were like in a different place, I was like, yes, we're in a different setting. Like this is going to be like the formula of like, we'll go to this Earth. We'll get this. Like, I like it this way. Like it's straightforward, but it's still like, it's a simple way of telling a story and that's what they need.
Yeah. And instead of trying to get to a big bad, we're getting to the crossover.
Yeah.
So, you know, we saw the return of Katana and China White, and we talked so much in depth, even the end of last year, about, you know what, when we go into the final season, just fucking give us everything.
Yeah.
And like I saw when I was pleasantly surprised seeing old characters back mm-hmm. doing things that we didn't think we'd ever see them do again.
Right. Like, thank you for just being like, you know what? Fuck it. Bring back Atana. Like, let's do it. What are they going to do now?
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the other thing that I noticed when we were, you know, in the Hong Kong scenes is that, and I think it started off towards the beginning when he kind of was starting to do more of the parkour stuff.
Dude, yes.
Very, very old school action scenes. And I don't know if you noticed, but it looks like Steven is doing the stunts again. A lot of those stunts.
Why not? I mean, they're canceled anyway, so why not?
It's like, I can't get hurt, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, what's going to happen? But it was very old school with the parkour running through, you know, chasing motorcycles. And, you know, just even the fight scenes between him and, you know, whatever Akuza gang we want to call them.
Is that what they are? Triad?
I don't know.
That's what it was. Something like that.
We're just going to go with any stereotypical Asian gang lord. With him and Diggle in the internet shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching him not doing anything too fancy or too out of the realm, but it just reminded me a lot, so much of the first season to where everything was reality based. Like, yeah. We're not seeing some kind of triple kung fu spin kick. He picked the dude up and threw him through a table.
Yeah. Also, I felt so bad for the guy that was just like chilling in the like internet library and just got like pummeled by everybody.
I'm here for the porn.
Yeah, obviously.
$3.95 a minute for porn either way, right? You're at the internet station or looking for some fucking cam girl.
I'm like, what? That's a thing?
I don't know. I could make it up. We could make it a thing.
I believed you. I was like, what? How do you know this? I'm learning right now. Ooh.
So, but again, very old school action scenes. And the other thing I want to bring up about those action scenes is that, man, it looked like we had a drone camera flying around when we got to the very end. That was like, because at first I was like, oh, that's a boom.
Nope. It's a drone camera. Like the way that it moved and everything, I was like, hell yeah. Like, it's about time that we use drone cameras. Like, it's such an easy thing to add. And it looks really great anytime I've ever seen it. So.
Well, it did like this continuous motion shot that made you feel like the fights were going on, you know, because when we get towards the end there, we had like the teams all had their separate missions to go through. It's like, you get the detonator, I'll do this, and you order dinner and we'll meet up. And that drone camera kind of brought everything in. And I think the last time I remember them seeing it is when, you know, we're on Nanda and Chase shot himself in the face, because when they're on the boat, the camera was flying around. And I'm thinking, well, if you guys bought that shit, you need to use that more often.
Absolutely. Because come on.
When you were outside and you're spinning around and, you know, Oliver's like, I have the bomb, but it's no good without the detonator. Mm-hmm. And it goes along the dockside and it goes, you know, to the Katana fight. I was just like, holy shit.
That was the first time in a long time, too, that a fight scene had that much tension, like back to back to back to back. It wasn't like one mission that was failing.
Yeah.
It was building that tension of like three at once that you can see them all like playing out. And doing that shot was just brilliant. So.
Well, and I think we've always talked about that. It's, you know, when the team, the Arrow episodes have been the best. Over the years we've done it, when everybody is focused on one thing and one thing only, that they're not off. It's not, oh, well, Steven and, you know, Oliver's doing this over here while Diggle's doing this over here. You know, even though they were doing separate things, it was all one mission. And it creates such a better episode of television.
Yeah.
And I think my only gripe, and it's going to be such a little gripe, was, you know, when I really thought Katana was going to get to kaputs.
Dude, yeah. I was like, dang, this, like, at first my thought was like, that's a tiny knife. Like, I know it's like right in your guts and stuff, but keep going.
Yeah, when they got the sword, though.
Yeah, then I was like, ah, fuck, we are done.
But then I was just like, it was such an odd, like, and I don't. Again, I'm not real picky on this, but it looked like she was going to stab her through the head instead of chopping her head off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Right? It was just an awkward thing. Like, as soon as she picked up the sword like that, I'm like, oh, I thought we were going to see, like, a head fall off and the mask, like, kind of roll or, you know, something. But those scenes were just stuff I honestly, I don't remember the last time, like you said, it built up that anxiety in an episode to where we realize the formula of these things. We know that the good guys are going to win at the end. They're not going to let him fail on a mission when he technically got 8 missions left in the world. But again, just them playing to us, the fans. And I think that's all we keep asking for. And they're 2 for 2 for now for me.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. Like, they've done a great job. And I was excited when you were like, Arrow's so good. Go, like, I was excited to watch it. And then you got me more pumped for it too.
Yeah, it worked out so well. Storyline wise, it you know, knowing the comics, we know what the monitor is. But man, they are putting doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
What they're gonna do with this man? Like, we've seen the anti-monitor get cast. You know, by cast I mean the same dude in the white makeup, which he looks like a White Walker, but I hate to keep saying that, but that's what the anti-monitor looks like. But he's coming off real shady.
Well, I love that they're building that, because I didn't think of that at all. And that's like, it's what I feel like we keep talking about of like, okay, tell me a story. Like, it doesn't have to be a play-by-play of what we know. Just tell me a story and make it good.
Mm-hmm.
So them instilling this doubt has made me like, oh, like, maybe they are wrong. And maybe it's just classic, like, Arrow, like, don't trust anybody.
Uh-huh.
Which is fine. That's classic Oliver.
Yes. You know, this man, you know, is still the same man, even though he doesn't fight with anger anymore.
Yeah.
But he's still, like, cynical and, yeah. Jaded, I guess, towards some of the people that have come in his past. Now, you wanted to talk about the scenes between him and the monitor.
Well, so the moment where he's talking to Katana about that doubt and everything, when she's like, how can you just believe it? Like, how can you just go for it? And the performance that Stephen Amell gives of just like, I have to believe it. I've sacrificed my family. And he like chokes up and he's like, so many people have sacrificed themselves for this. And like the way that he gets choked up, again, beautiful performance. Stephen Amell, great acting. But part of me was wondering if that's pulling from the show, his baby, you know, like, I've sacrificed so much for this show. I've sacrificed, like, writers, like, everyone who is part of this has sacrificed so much. And I just have to believe that it's going to be good. I have to believe that it's going to be right. So I feel like part of that performance was taken from how he feels about the show, you know?
And I honestly, I didn't think of it that way until you know, put it, you know, hey, I want to make sure that this is in the notes for this week.
Yeah.
And I 100% believe it, because I go back to us playing that 5-minute clip of him telling us that it was canceled and listening to the way that he described his time on this show and bringing up all the grips, the actors, the cameramen, you know, the sound men and everybody else that has done everything for this show and how, you know, grateful he was for it. God damn, it was almost the same speech.
It was. And that's why I was like, do you think that's what like pulled from that? They were like, that was his like, I want this in there to be like the thank you. And like, people probably asked him, like, why do you keep with the show? And like, now that it's ending, it's like, because I put so much into it. We've all have. This team has. Like, I have to believe that it's going to be good. And with speeches like that, and when he like, has those moments of where he puts all of his heart into it, I'm like, it is going to be good. We're going to be fine. Like, this is going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to make it good together.
Yeah, and it better be, because like, that man deserves it 100%.
Yeah. But, you know, we talked about it a little earlier. They're doing so well so far.
Yeah.
Because they're doing throwbacks to old seasons. So if you've been a fan like we have, you know, episode one, season one, I know we haven't covered it that long, but we've all been watching for that long. And going back to Maceo and the Lotus Cure in like season three or four, whatever that was, you know, there's so much just different talk, you know, that's, it's good that they're going down this lane, this memory lane of just Arrow greatness, I guess.
Yeah.
So the other thing, that storyline that caught me off guard this week was the very end.
Oh, dude.
What the fuck is Layla doing?
I don't know. And
let's just start with standard TV kind of setup there. When they show her walking and you're looking at the red at the bottom of the heels, are you trying to guess like what character that is at that point?
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck is in like Louis Vuitton, I assume, like stilettos that aren't that high anyway? Like, these kind of nubby shoes here, but who the fuck is this? And then just everything like playing out, I'm like, god damn it, like classic Arrow shenanigans, secrets.
Yeah. And it was just so odd, because this whole episode, and if you go back and you think of it again, like we do when it comes to making TV shows, the way her and Diggle were kind of like acting the whole time,
yeah,
it kind of made sense that she knew more what was going on.
Yeah.
That, you know, she showed up for, you know, oh, well, I have my ways or, you know, my reasons. And you think it's for them. It's no, because the fucking monitor's there and they have some kind of deal going on. And she's worried about Diggle.
Yeah.
But
you
man,
know who's not in the flash forwards? Either Layla or Diggle. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get there in a few. But what is she doing? Does she understand like the bigger goal here and is gonna be like the? I'm just hoping that this doesn't turn into some villainy type shit. You know, I doubt it will with her.
That's what I'm afraid of, and I don't know why. Like, that's where I'm leaning.
We just know how they've done stuff in the past, that we don't want that. That, you know, this would be, as much as we want it, we know something happens to Diggle, you know, based on, you know, the Young Justice crew in the future. Yeah. But, you know, we want all these characters to have their swan songs and be written off well. And I don't want Diggle to be stuck in that whole scenario that he was in like the first three seasons, to where, you know, they were divorced and not together because of all this bullshit going on with their work. And yet it just seems like this scenario is falling back into that same situation that we dealt with for, you know, three or four seasons there at the beginning.
Well, I mean, also, like, part of it is that, like, things still have to play out with, like, them adopting
Bronze Tiger.
Yeah, Bronze Tiger's kid. So that still all has to, I'm just trying to, like, give myself peace of mind, because I'm very worried right now.
Well, yeah, I am too. I'm hoping that she just knows that there's a bigger crisis coming and that she is going to be like the headliner organizing the team or something to getting all these people together.
Yeah. You know what? I think and hope that's what it is.
That you know, something happens, or she's also made a deal with the monitor to protect certain people, maybe Diggle, maybe, you know, JJ.
Ooh, or maybe she knows that he can go to different worlds and, like, Diggle can't, like, fight them now adequately. But if we took him to another world and gave him, like, a certain ring or power to, you know, make him stronger.
Yeah, because...
Please just give it to me.
You're trying to swerve it. You're like, we still have to have that man die and somebody to give Diggle that ring.
Yeah.
If we want to go by true comic book lore.
But it could happen.
It could. But I can almost see her being in the same situation as Oliver is.
Yes.
To where she knows that this is very mission-based and that she's sacrificing for the greater good of humanity, and Diggle wasn't supposed to be part of it, but that's why she's nervous.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
I mean,
100%. That's what it is.
It's the only like play in my head that I will buy off on right now.
Well, and it's the only one that won't cause a bunch of bullshit drama.
Mm-hmm.
Because all she has to do is, Oliver, what would you have done for your family? And then it'd be like, all right, I'll shut the fuck up. Let's keep going with your plan. Like,
yeah, he came and talked to me right after he fucking bailed you out of that cabin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just hope that's the thing. It was just such a weird twist. But again, shot in that mysterious type of way that I'm trying to guess like a villain or who the hell this person is in these heels. And then I was like, do you wear red heels, like red bottoms with a blue skirt? I don't know. Oh, is that a thing?
Oh, no, I didn't even think about that, though.
I don't know. That might not be a thing, but this is a thing. Our Patreon, patreon.com/Rain Man Digital. We're trying to hit 100 subscribers for the end of the year. To kind of help offset the cost, because we keep doing thousands and thousands of more shows. And, we're growing and growing, and we want to continue to grow, but we can't do it without your help. You can go minimum of a dollar. You can feed a starving podcaster like us. Go to Rayman or patreon.com/Rainman Digital for all the details. You can also find the links in the details of this very podcast you're listening to now. Yeah. All right.
Give me a dollar.
Give you a dollar and we'll make you holler. Something. I don't know.
Or something.
Whatever. Speaking of hollering, you love Mia. This was a step back for her.
Bullshit. It's always a step back for her. But it was a big one because I felt like at the beginning of the episode, I was like, okay, let's try. Let's really, really try to like everything going on in the flash forwards.
Are you doing the Joker thing again?
Yes. But I was, though. I was giving it such a good effort and just like, it's her performance of just like that snotty, like, I'm right. Like, it's always got to be my way. And I saw today that on Instagram, CW Arrow posted, like, look at Mia Smoke and how much she's like her father. And so many people were commenting, like, the writers keep saying that, but I don't see it. And I'm like, thank you. And everyone's like, I really hate the flash forwards. And I'm like, thank you. Like, no one is on board with Mia or the flash forwards. So maybe let's make her take a back seat and,
get
her to shut up. But is it her performance? Like, I don't know if it's her performance or what, because look at Laurel this episode. Rightfully so. She just lost everything, but she was being like erratic. She was being irrational and her emotions were like through the roof, like with her actions. But I was not just okay with it. I didn't just tolerate it. Like, I loved her performance. Like, I believed it and I felt for her too. Like, yeah, she was being crazy, but she lost everything. And I don't know if it's because like, it's like, is this good acting or like it? Why do I believe her and just loathe this like character and kind of, I think, this actress?
I don't know if it's just written differently or it is the acting, because I think Katie is pulling from some real like life shit.
Yeah.
When she talks about everything getting taken away from her, this was the star of this show at one point.
Yeah.
And, the shippers took that away from her.
Fuck the shippers.
And I think with Mia, it's so light switch off and on. And, if CW is the network that listens to the viewers too much, maybe they'll listen on this behalf, because I didn't think last one was that bad because it just seemed like they were more focused on what they were doing. But the fact was that when, JJ had his little mission, or not JJ. Is it JJ? No, JJ is the bad one.
Yeah, what's the other one's name?
It's Connor.
Yeah, duh,
it's
we
Connor
knew that.
Hawk. I should have known that. Yeah, be smart. But when, you know, he has his idea to go after his brother, like, those scenes were good.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know, it was setting up something. And even back with William back in, you know, the Arrow Cave, trying to deal with it and figuring out that it was all a setup and that, you know, JJ is smaller than, or smarter than the Connor. It was set up properly. And I was buying everything into it until she just went into, like, you know, well, fuck you, I'm going to kill you mode again. And you're just like, yo, you got your ass kicked last time. Yeah. Like, there's no humble in her. And I think that's what the weirdest thing is. And as much as they want to try to compare her to how Stephen Amell acts as Oliver Queen, Oliver is always willing to be humbled.
Yeah.
And I mean, just
even at the beginnings, like even at like his highest points when he's on top of the world and stuff and like things are actually going good, he's never a fucking twat about it.
Yeah. And so we don't see that humbling of Mia when it comes to things not going right. And like, you know, your brother was taken and all this other stuff and you were tricked. Your dad has been tricked 1,000 times. You know, you would think somebody like Felicity would be explaining this type of shit to them as, you know, they're running through their Young Justice parts of this these episodes. But, you know, and I understand that not there to like coach them, but at least stories growing up of, you know, we realized your dad was the Arrow and he was a great man, but you got to realize that we failed a lot.
Yeah. Like, and maybe it's just her face. Like, I just saw that scene right now where they were like, oh, William, like, we're in the bunker with your brother. Like, do you want to save William or do you want to shut the fuck up? Like, come on. And I think it's just her. I think it's just her face. Like, she can play catty really well. She can play like a cheerleader really well. Like, I just don't think she is made to be a hero or a superhero or anything that is a threat. And I think that's why I have such a hard time believing it, because when she's acting, when she's trying to be tough, or when she's trying to like put forward what she believes in, she's just acting catty.
Yeah. And honestly, when you said catty, the first thing I thought was villain cheerleader from the high school across the city. And then you said, I could see her playing a cheerleader.
Yeah. Like, that's exactly what it is it, like, it's her face. It's just who she is. Like, I think that's all she knows how to act is just catty.
Well, and the thing is, it's, man, I'm worried that hopefully she's not the lead when it comes to this new Canary show.
Oh, because right.
Well, I'm just saying in general, you think about it. You don't want that added. Because if you're feeling this way and like I see issues in it, and then they try to post these Instagram type things and they're going to the social medias saying, look how much she is like Oliver, and the majority of the people are feeling the same way, man, they're not going to, it's no reason to put out a show with her being the lead if, you know, you're alienating half your audience that doesn't understand why she acts the way she acts.
Yeah.
And so that's a scary situation to put into, because, you know, bottom line is these shows aren't doing that great in the ratings. I want to say 770,000 people watched this week. In comparison, we have 225,000 people that like our Facebook page.
Hooray!
So I'm just saying, 1/3 of the audience that they're shooting for is on our Facebook page. And I'm guessing they're not watching these shows, which means they're probably not listening to us. But I'm just saying, you know, people fall off. And you're not going to get people back with the same kind of
failures.
Template, yeah. You know, and characters that people are already irritated with. It's just like, oh, great. Now we're going to put the freaking Jar Jar Binks and the Chinese lady from Star Wars in a movie and wonder why nobody wants to go watch it.
The two worst Star Wars characters ever.
In a buddy cop film.
With
from
a bunch
Lucasfilms
of porks.
And Disney. Bunch of porks in, yeah. God damn it. That'd be fucking horrible. Like, me. Just running around and
oh, everything you hated about Star Wars.
All wrapped up in one. So I hope they don't do that with it, because honestly, I really had nothing wrong with what's going on in the Young Justice part of the story, because it's kind of given us a background to one of our favorite characters, which is, you know, the man Diggle. He's always been our favorite. Mm-hmm. And answering some of those questions on what the hell's happening. And I'm assuming we're going to get the answers for, you know, in that scenario of the flash forwards. And honestly, there's parts of me that are going, are these really even flash forwards?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a different world. God damn it.
We're jumping Earth so many fucking times. Who the hell knows what we're dealing with anymore?
Yeah. I don't know. But, like, I know that, like, we got kind of... last episode, I guess we got a little bit of answers for flash forwards. This episode, it's, like, building up to a flash forward. Maybe. God, I hope so. But, like... package it up a little bit cleaner. Like, you can just have an episode without it and we'll be okay, I promise. We won't forget that they're there. We'll just be like, thank God they did away with the flash forwards this episode.
Well, okay, so the one thing I did notice, and I'll give them credit for this, is that they're getting creative the way they're going to the flash forwards. Mm-hmm. Because there was some books that were like, one was orange and one was black. Yeah. And it zoomed into there, then it came out into the mask. And I think one was looking at some kind of like antelope or some animal on a wall that went to the booze bottle that was on the table.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they did that was neat. But also, it kind of signals like, okay, you cannot pay attention right now.
This is where you can tune out.
Did you need to check your phone? Perfect.
Like, oh, they're zooming in on something random. Here
because,
we go.
Like, what is, so far, like, what... for both episodes, what is the takeaway? Like, JJ's bad. That's
JJ,
it.
JJ's bad. Connor has guilt because he thinks he's bad because of them. The parents paying attention to them. We don't know where the parents are.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're using flash drives in 2040.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I was like, wow. Like, I was going, I was like, I guess, you know, there was no floppy drives available.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it caught me off guard. I was like, oh, I guess that technology never gets better.
No, we're at the peak right now.
Yes, we're at the peak of small digital carrying devices.
No, I think the peak for small digital carrying devices were those little, remember in the 2000s, like 90s, those little music things where you would just like, it played a clip of a song. It didn't play a whole song. Oh, it looked like a baby Walkman, and you would just put it in there.
You'd play like 30 seconds of it.
That so was the peak.
You're getting the iTunes old school, like, is this the song you want to buy before you buy it? Listen to 30 seconds
Dude,
of it.
Dude, that's what it was. And I remember as a kid, I was like, that's fucking stupid.
You're like, great. I only know the first 30 seconds of the song. Hope it's not an intro.
But also, like, I was the kid that was like making mixtapes from the radio.
Yeah,
I was like, I like this song. Record.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
So
we were so much cooler and smarter, Bobby.
Yes, it's nobody knows how to make a mixtape now. It's like, oh, I'll share my playlist with you on Spotify.
Yeah. If anyone ever made me a mixtape nowadays, I'd be so fucking stoked. Like, I don't know where I'm going to play this, but thank you.
Well, all you need to do is remember last season, you can go back to the bootleg swap meet that they went to go find whatever to play.
Oh, shit. That's right.
The little recorder tape.
It's true.
Were you surprised that more of the characters weren't in the show? Or is it a good thing for you because we're not just cramming 8 pounds of shit in a 4 pound bag?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. If it's not needed, it's fine. I am totally okay with like this, what we said last time, like Bill and Ted, like formula of just like two guys traveling through time.
Gotta go get Socrates.
Yeah. Dude. One time in a history class, like, we had to read, like, take turns reading. This is, like, in college, too.
You said Socrates?
I said Socrates, and everyone started saying Socrates. I'm like, this is the happiest day of my life. And someone finally goes, isn't it Socrates? And I was like, it took, like, 7 people for us to finally figure that out. I'm really glad I could make this happen.
That's so awesome. It's one of those things, like, people look at you like you're dumb. You're like, I'm making fucking random movie references. This is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And Genghis Kong likes Twinkies. Get over it.
You're welcome, everybody.
Yes.
Who was there laughing by themselves, though? Me.
Yes, exactly. It's like, I entertain myself. That's all the fuck that matters most of the time.
Class was great today for me only.
Dear Facebook, or dear MySpace.
I was going to say, I think it was MySpace back then.
Dear MySpace, I said Socrate 17 times and nobody got it.
No, other people were reading it out loud, like, when it was their turn, and they were saying it, and I was like, people are so dumb.
That's funny. You're not familiar with what we're talking about, go watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, because the third one will be out.
Oh, shit, that's right.
In, like, a year, I think.
That's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Bill and Ted never make the song that saves the planet.
So weird.
So, all right, let's refocus here for a little bit back on the show. But so you're good with it, because I was looking at the credits as it goes through, you know, the opening and reading names. I was like, man, there's a fucking bunch of names in here.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they list, like, you know, Wild Dog and everybody, even though they're not on the show. So, you know, they get the uncredited appearance or, you know, non-appearance credit or whatever the fuck they call it.
Good.
But I'm glad that they keep jumping through this. This formula is totally working for me. And, yeah. You know,
I'm totally fine with it. Like,
focused.
I think next week will be another mission episode that leads to Crisis. Then.
Yeah. No, yeah. They got to just keep this up.
Yeah. Mission episode, like, pre-Crisis will be next week. Then I think we're in Crisis, aren't we?
No, Crisis is, here, let me look real quick. I want to say it's in, like, episode 8, so we got 6 weeks. Speaking of that, while I'm looking it up.
It's episode 8 and we have 10 episodes?
10 episodes. Crisis is 8. And then it says that they're coming back for 2 episodes after Crisis. Which I thought was weird. I thought Crisis would have been 10 and Arrow was going to go all the way through. And this was actually, well, you know, because I do the Google Foo before we get in there to make sure I got all the writers and everything right. Yeah. And it lists all the episodes. And it definitely was weird because I, you know, as reported by us, because we probably read it somewhere else, it said that, you know, it would end on Crisis. But 168 is Crisis on Infinite Earths. And that is going to be January 14th, 2020. And then the last episode will be February 2020.
How is this timeline making sense? So how big of a break are we having?
Well, it looks like we're going to run up because it has TBA for original air date. So it has November 5th. So I'm assuming we're going to run through Easter or Christmas or whatever. And then I know they split the crossover, which I think is the weirdest thing, that the first 3 episodes are going to be before Christmas. The last 2 are going to be after.
Huh.
So it's a weird thing to go off of, yeah. or to do. But then after that, I'm assuming that the February is going to be the first week in February will be the last episode of Arrow. So there's 2 episodes there towards the end. So it's a weird thing because I really thought we were going to have October through the January just nonstop of, you know, except for the holiday break, Arrow episodes, but it looks like it's continuing to February. So we'll see what those last 2 I'm really intrigued now to see if Oliver's supposed to die in episode 8, what the fuck are they going to do at 9 and 10?
Better not be a bunch of flash forward stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like,
backdoor pilot?
Backdoor pilot for Canaries.
Oh, no.
I mean, honestly, it's the only thing that makes sense as far as what we know, again, about the shows. So, all right. With that weird news about the split season, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll get into the ratings and our final thoughts.
Hey, DC and RMD listeners, all this year, we will be featuring a product of the week. So be sure to look within the description of each and every podcast this TV season and click through those links. Whenever you purchase an item through our links, each purchase helps our network grow. and were able to keep the lights on within the studio.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
You're not embarrassed because you don't remember if you didn't. Okay.
I didn't pull my dick out.
Are you sure? If you only remember 30%, how do you know
that? The 30% I remember is not whipping my dick out.
How do you know that during that 70%?
That's the 30 I remember. I didn't
whip my dick out. I remember 30% of the night. That was the entire time she claims we did something.
Yeah.
Open and shut case.
Okay, so it does.
Ryan, there's 70% that you don't remember.
But I remember not whipping my dick out. That's 100%.
There's 70% you don't remember.
30% of what I remember.
The other part in which you might have whipped it out.
30% of what I remember is 100% I didn't pull my dick out.
That is the worst.
To Mike's point, though, in 9 months, you get a text message saying it's yours. You change that phone number.
Obviously, dude. I'm getting a brand new phone number.
He's like, it's your baby.
I'm going to be like, no, it's not.
It's your baby, Ryan. I know you.
I don't come.
I know you as your mama.
I don't come.
If you could pick your dick out of a lineup, though, then you would know that you pulled it.
I swear to God, I'm naming him after his great-great-grandfather, Tyrone. He could be Tyrone Denton. He told me everything the night we talked.
Is my dick black? Have I not seen my dick in a while? My dick got black somehow. I don't.
Don't you deny me!
Oh my God, the baby.
You
looks
my boo!
Oh my God!
I was sending you messages. And they said deliver. I know you have an iOS device. I have an iOS device. You ain't knowing me.
You'd be fucked.
This is fucked up, dude.
But I followed you on Facebook.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
That's so awesome. Hey, if you're listening to us and you like what you hear, share these links with your friends. Review. You know, we talk about it all the time, but it really helps us out. It helps us climb those charts on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, podcast, all those things. Just share each and every episode. Click on those links and help support the show that you love or love to hate us and you listen anyways. Whatever it is. Just do it for us. Thank you. It's free. Final thoughts.
I really just hope that I don't get last two episodes of a canary backdoor pilot. That's all I'm thinking of.
God damn it. I should see. This is what happens when I come up with theories, because now that's all that's in your head.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
I'm afraid. But no, this episode was great. Probably give it like an 86. It was good, but I did find myself like getting distracted. Acting in it for Stephen Amell and I always forget her name. Katie Cassidy.
Yes.
Great. Fantastic. Super, super excited for what's going to come. Pacing played out really well for like the main story. And yeah, fight scenes were beautiful. Costumes, I didn't notice. I was like, is it just me or is Diggle's costume getting greener?
It was like, maybe it was more in light this time, or the fact that I brought up the green shit last time.
No, I think it was because it was in light and I'm just like secretly hoping like, ooh.
It's just slowly turning green.
Slowly, yeah, it's just slowly going to turn green.
You're like, is that a silhouette of a lantern on his chest?
Exactly. I was like, it's just going to slowly show up eventually. And we're going to be like, look at that. When did that happen?
He's going to fall in some mud like Forrest Gump did. And it's like kind of come up with a smiley face, it's going to be. It's just going to be the lantern symbol.
I'm like thinking ridiculous things like they fight aliens with silver blood and that happens.
They're in a paint
Hooray,
shop.
It's happening. But yeah, a pretty good episode. But I think the future flash forwards are kind of making me lose hope.
Yeah, well, again, I agree with you on the flash forwards. The flash forwards bring it down for me, just because it was just a weird, like, snotty nose brat type behavior that I just don't like to see. I appreciated the story that they were setting up between the brothers because, you know, again, yeah. We like Diggle. We want to know what happened. But the some of the Mia acting scenes are just like way too over the top and way too snooty for it. And it's that part doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And again, maybe, you know, you brought up the fact earlier that when Laurel did it, it was okay. Mm-hmm. But I think she's earned that respect over time to where, you know, at the beginning we were just like, oh, you were a little brat too, but you've grown, you know, we've grown to know her a little bit more and understand where she's coming from.
Well, and
this
she's
version's
not,
pain.
She's not our Laurel, you know, like that's another thing too, is like, but I feel like I still believe it even more with this Laurel, cause she's been through the ringer.
Oh, hey, real quick. And this is really on air. This isn't me whispering to try to, you know, not be on air. Okay. Where did she get her costume from?
But right? I don't know.
I was like, I'm just gonna ignore that for a minute.
Maybe
because they jumped through, and she was just in the police office in her normal thing, and then she comes in and she has the canary costume, and I was like,
maybe Oliver had a bag. Maybe it was in there with the dwarf star or whatever stuff. I don't know.
I packed
maybe
it overnight.
Maybe it's under her really tight outfit.
She's got the flash ring. She just comes out of the ring.
Maybe something like that.
I don't know.
But good point.
I completely spaced out until we just started talking about her. And I was like, oh, wait, she came and fought and she had her costume. Because I was really nervous last week because I liked the costume a lot. And I thought we lost it in the blow up. But whatever. We'll write that
out. It's saved.
Yeah.
Magically.
The only thing that made it through that portal is the canary costume. I kept clicking and this is all that came out of the fucking time traveling thing.
Threw that up. That's all you get.
Yeah. It's like, oops. You know, her scenes were acted real well. You know, you felt her pain about losing everything that she kind of just got back. And, you know, between her and Oliver going back and forth about, you know, you don't understand, you didn't really lose these people, they weren't your people. I was like, you got a point.
Yeah.
But the acting was done real well. The fighting, again, just hitting with the feels of just the old school and bringing up that drone camera again and making those fights feel like they were one giant thing, even though we know they were shot in three separate areas. It just worked out real well. So, I would probably give this episode an 80 overall. You know, I would have ranked it higher if it wasn't for Young Justice being a little punks there, or at least one member of Young Justice being a punk, because the rest of them seem to somewhat have their heads on their shoulders. I don't know why Mia all of a sudden this week had to go revert back to what we didn't like last year.
I don't know what the decision was. Like, it seemed like they were putting her in her place a little bit last week, and then at the very end, that's why I was worried when she was like, we're doing it my way. And I'm like, oh man, come on.
Your way sucks too.
Can we like flip her over more, like, over a table and have her shoe fly off? Because that was my favorite ever.
Still waiting for a gif of her flying over and the shoe flying away.
Dear internet, please make that happen. Please and thank you.
Yeah, but the cliffhanger was a good one because now, again, we question what the hell is going on between the monitor and either Argus or just Lila in general. Like, we don't know if it's an organizational thing or it's a personal thing. We had our theories there. You can go back and listen to those. Hopefully it's one of those, not something deceiving and, you know, a downplay for Diggle.
I just don't know, like, how do we know, like, which Earth, like, when they got there, how did they know that they were on their Earth? Like, how did they know that they were on their Earth in that right timeline? Like, I don't, how does this work?
You're like, yeah.
All this wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah, well, again, just, we'll keep going with the quantum leap thing. It doesn't matter. We just know that they're, we'll take whatever year they tell us and whatever, you know, Earth they tell us and go from there.
Yep. Everyone shut up, stop thinking, and just watch.
Yeah. I think that's what we have to get into. I think that's what a lot of people just have to get into when it comes to shows and movies and everything else, is shut off your mind and relax for 45 minutes, an hour, whatever you're watching, and enjoy it. There's always some redeeming quality in something you're watching. So. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Arrow Edition. Remember, you can always catch all our past and future episodes on DCOnRMD.com. Go follow us on all our social medias out there, our Instagrams, our Twitters, and Facebooks, and all that cool jazz, and let us know what you think about what's going on this season. That'll do it.
I think I'm sad now. Because you're like, you just have to turn off your brain in order to enjoy anything. And I'm like, but I like my brain. I like it when things are thought-provoking, man.
Well, you're wrong. We're watching the wrong network for thought-provoking.
That's very, very true.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.